Welcome to CWH and this classic program by my dad, Pastor Salem. We hope you will invite your friends and family to worship with us. In today's sermon, Christ and Him Crucified, Dad reflects on the cross, our Savior, and the sacrifice He made for us. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we're starting a kind of a little special before we come to Easter. And we're going to be thinking, first of all, today we're going to talk about the cross, Christ and Him crucified. And then next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about Jesus and the seventh saying on the cross when He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." And then the next Sunday will be Palm Sunday. And so we're going to be looking at Jesus as the one who's going to reign over the whole world, Palm Sunday. Then Easter Sunday, oh, we're going to see the great power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year, and we just rejoice in it. But before we do that, I want to share some of the letters. And I want to thank you for writing, and I hope you get your pencil and paper. At the close of the service, I'll give you the address. And we just would love to hear from you, and we read every letter we get. And if you have questions, we try to answer them. And so think about writing to us and also maybe sending a gift because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. So our first letter today is from Grand Forks, North Dakota, our friends up to the north. And he writes, "My wife and I appreciate your program so much. We became Christians over 40 years ago when I was in the service. We were newly married, but I was looking for more meaning in my life. I asked God if He existed. In the military, people come and go. Soon, all of the people in my carpool were Christian people. As I listened to them talk about Jesus and prophecy, I became hooked. Soon, both my wife and I accepted Jesus as Savior. There were no lightning bolts or voices, but just a peace in my life. My wife had a great experience with the Lord and also became a believer. We haven't looked back since, but press on. Keep on with the wonderful work with you, and with the Lord's help, we can do our best for Christ." And so here's a beautiful letter. There's two things I want to point out in this letter. The first thing is he says that he was not a believer. He was not a Christian, but he was searching. And that he traveled with a group of Christians in their carpool. And they're witnessing of Jesus. And they're talking about Jesus. And the wonderful word of God and prophecy opened his heart and he accepted the Lord. So on your daily journeys, where your daily communications with people, just talk about Jesus and what he means to you. And what a blessing it is and the joy in your life. And who knows but what the Holy Spirit will take your witness and brings people to Jesus. That's our prayer, at least. And then the second thing is, he said he had a peace in my life. And he said there were no lightning bolts or voices. So when you accept the Lord, you may just be all have goose pimples and everything else. On the other hand, you may not feel any different at all. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. I didn't have any lights and voices and anything like that, but I just accepted Jesus. And then he gave me a peace that my sins were gone, and I was so happy. That's 86 years ago, almost 87 years ago. That wonderful Savior becomes more precious every day. Here's one from Minnesota, and they write and said, "I know this gift isn't very large. I always think that it may purchase 5 minutes of airtime on one station at the exact same time someone's watching and giving their heart to Jesus." And that's exactly it. Now, 5 minutes doesn't buy, $5 doesn't buy very much, but yet that just takes a second to come to Jesus. But what you're doing, you're investing in a ministry that's bringing people to Jesus. And so when you make this investment, when anybody comes to Jesus or comes back, they drifted away and they come back, or when people are comforted or young people are given direction and children are brought to Jesus, you're investing in that. Whether it's $1 or $10,000, doesn't matter. Here's Minnetonka, South Australia. And this service traveled 9,440 miles, and they picked us up and worshiped with us. And they write and said, "I've only recently come across your program. I got a big surprise when I heard your age because you look younger. I'm pleased to give something toward helping you stay on the air." Well, of course, as you probably all know, I'm 96 years old. If I make it to June, I'll be 97 by the grace of God. And but I would think, you know, after traveling 9,440 miles, I might look kind of worn out or tired or old. But no, she says, it comes through loud and clear, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, almost 10,000 miles away. And how many are listening? Praise God. Then I want one more, and this is Colorado Springs, Colorado. I was born and raised in Switzerland. I still have a sister living there. She just turned 90. We have not had any contact since 2000. She recently wrote to me, "If you profess to be a Christian, why don't you forgive me?" I send her flowers for her birthday, and she then called me. We since had four lengthy phone calls. Again, God answered my prayer. I never felt right about our split. We used to be so close. And isn't this wonderful? Miles and miles apart, and now they're coming together, and there's forgiveness and there's love. And that's what a friend, if you're holding a grudge on somebody, pray to God to help you to forgive and forget it and let it go. And just if they've done you wrong, leave that up to God. Don't try to settle the score. Just give it to Jesus, see. And there's joy as you walk with the Lord. Well, you be sure to write to us. Now get that pencil and paper ready, and me, and then we'll give you the address. But we're looking at this statement of St. Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. He said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so that's the way he lived. The only thing, he says, the only thing that counted to anything to him was the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, purchased our salvation on the cross of Jesus Christ. And so he talks about this wonderful salvation that's seen in the cross of Christ. Now, when you come to the Bible, you find in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it talks about being right with God. And it talks about coming to God and trusting in God. And then in the New Testament, this wonderful God is Jesus. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God, but he is God. Second person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, is pictured of his coming and being a sacrifice for us. For instance, the very first instance we have is in the book of Genesis, and it's the story of Abel. And we're told that Abel, at the dawn of human history, came and offered a sacrifice, a lamb out of the flock. He had to kill that lamb and shed that blood and make a sacrifice to God. And in this story, it tells in Genesis, it says, by faith he brought this sacrifice. That means, it implies very plainly, that God had told him how to sacrifice. And here it is, God in the Old Testament, the first book, man, we hadn't been hardly out of the Garden of Eden. We'd been just a matter of years, maybe not even years. And here he is, he's telling the way of salvation, and it's through the shed blood of a lamb. And then as you go on in the Old Testament, you see it come up again. You find out that the Passover lamb in Egypt will have the same story. And it was the sacrifice of a little lamb. And this was to be for a family. When Abel gave his, this was sacrificed just for himself, a person. But now in the Passover lamb in the Old Testament, we have the people coming and bringing a lamb, and they were to the best of the flock. And they sacrificed this for a family. And the blood is taken, and remember how the story is. God pointed it out. He says, you take the blood and put it in a basin, and then you take hyssop, and you sprinkle that blood on either side of the door and over the top, and that's the form of the cross. Away back at the dawn of human history, there's the cross, the old rugged cross. And Jesus knew all about it because he knew about that before the foundation of the world. And so then it go on in the Old Testament and you come to the Levitical sacrifice and it's called the Great Day of Atonement. And in the Great Day of Atonement, all of the Israel got together around the tabernacle and they got in their tribes and set in order together and to worship God. And then the priest would take a lamb, a goat, or a lamb or a goat, and he would slay that lamb and confess the sins of all the people of Israel. And it was teaching us over and over again with Abel and then with the Passover and now with the Day of Atonement and so on. It's always pointing out that there has to be dying. There has to be death. There has to be the shedding of blood. And so we are told in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the blood was the life. The life of the person is in the blood. And they're giving their life to God. And they're surrendering and dying. And that's exactly what the Lamb of God is going to be. And this wonderful Lamb of God is slain for the foundation of the world. That is, it was in God's plan to have the wonderful Lamb of God come. So we're told a little bit more about the Lamb of God in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 53. And here Isaiah writes, and he tells us that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and he is rejected. And then in Isaiah 53 in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then go on to the 7th verse. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. So here we're told now that he's going to be something. He's going to be, it's going to be a man. It's going to be a person. This lamb is a person. And who is that person? Then you come to the New Testament and you come to Acts chapter 8. And you know the story. Here's the the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's a treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. So he was a very a man with great prestige and great honor and great power. And he's traveling in his chariot, an open chariot. And as he's traveling along, he's reading from the Bible, from the Old Testament. And what is he reading? He's reading Isaiah 53. He is despised. He's rejected. He's going to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. And then Philip, the evangelist Philip, he's having meetings in Samaria. And God says, go, leave the Samaria and go out into the wilderness. I want you to do something there. And he was caught by the Spirit and he was taken out of the wilderness. And here he stands by the roadside. And here comes this Ethiopian eunuch riding in the chariot and reading this passage. He doesn't know what it means. And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go up to the man and ask him if he knows what he's reading. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian eunuch says, no, I don't understand. Somebody will have to tell me. And so we're told in Acts chapter 8, Philip preached unto him Jesus. There it is. The Lamb of God is a man. The Lamb of God is Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And so we go and see, come on then into the New Testament. And you come to this man, John the Baptist. He made it clear as God every day exactly who that person would be. Because John the Baptist is holding revival meetings at the Jordan River. And there are multitudes of people coming. And they're confessing their sins and calling on forgiveness. And after they confess their sins, John is baptizing them in the Jordan River. And they have this multitude of people. And here it is, Jesus comes on the scene. And he comes with some of his disciples. And John the Baptist looks at him. And he knows who exactly the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. And John the Baptist points his finger at Jesus Christ and tells the whole multitude and tells the whole wide world, here is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Not the sins of just one man, Abel, or just a family like the Passover, or just like a nation with the Day of Atonement. Here he is, the sacrifice, the one that's going to die. The Lamb of God is a man, and he's going to be a sacrifice for the whole wide wicked world. Oh, when I preach that, it just thrills my soul. Taking away, that's in John chapter 1, verse 29, if you want to read it. And then remember when the Jews insisted that Jesus is teaching, and then they come to Jesus, and they want him to give a sign that he's the Son of God, because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And you have to be careful there, because we have a cult going around, and this cult says that Jesus is the Son of God, but he is not God. He's just the Son of God, just like everybody who follows the cult. They're one of their sons of God. But Jesus Christ is a Son of God, and Jesus Christ is God. He is at the creation of the world. He's before the creation of the world. So you watch out. He is a Son of God, but he is God. John chapter 1 takes that. If you want to read that in the Gospel of John chapter 1. But they want a sign, and this is what Jesus tells them in Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40. He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He says, there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then Jesus says in the 40th verse, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This has reference to this Jesus Christ, who is going to die on the cross and be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and then he's going to be raised from the grave, and he's going to rule forever. And in about 3 weeks, we are going to have a whole sermon on the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Jesus is talking about his death, and he's telling about the death and showing the way. Again and again, over and over, Jesus does that. Listen to him in John chapter 10, verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, listen, giveth his life for the sheep. And then he says this in John 12. He's talking about his death. He told his disciples over and over, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. For this reason I came. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to do one thing, and that's go to the old rugged cross and die on that cross. As a matter of fact, God looked back and God looked to the time before the creation of the world. And before the creation of the world, Jesus is designated when man is going to be, he's going to come be created by God. He's going to sin, and he can't ever go to heaven with that sin. And he can't die for his sin. He has to die with his sin, go to hell because of his sin. God will have no sin in heaven, and so Jesus, God says he's appointed Jesus, and he's going to come, and he's going to come to a certain point in time. 2,000 years ago, he's born of the Virgin. He is God, and now he takes on himself the form of a man. And as a man, he goes to the cross, and he dies and sheds his blood to pay for the sins of the world. This glorious, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And this is what Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And this is what God says. This he said, signifying what death he would die. And then another one, it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, even Stephen, the Son of Man, came to minister and to minister, but to give his life, to give his life, a ransom for many. And you know, Jesus talked about mine hour all the time, didn't he? Mine hour has not come, and I can't do this just right now, and we have to think about this, and we don't tell people who I am until my hour comes. But when his hour came, it was the hour of the cross, when he would go to that cross, and he says, the time has come, I'll reveal myself. And he rode down the slope of Jerusalem at Easter, on that Passion Sunday, that Palm Sunday. He rode down the side of the Mount of Olives across a little brook called Kidron and up the other side into the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to the temple and he's going to the people and they're setting the trap. And then before they're done, they're going to have him crucified on the old rugged cross. And that's what he came for. One of the artists has a picture of Jesus. And when he's born, he's a little baby. And his mother Mary takes him in her arms. And she's tall and she's slender. And she stands there and she holds that little baby in her arms, Jesus. And the sun is shining. It casts a shadow behind her, shadow of a cross. Jesus lived in that shadow of that cross all of his earthly life. And all of his existence before the foundation of the earth, he knew he was going to go to a cross. That wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus tells us then, and he talks to us and he tells us that we need to come to him. And he tells us because I love you so much and I died for you, but you have to have me. He says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus said this. He says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become something they weren't, the children of God. You're not a child of God unless you're a little child to the age of accountability. They all belong to Jesus. But once you're to that age of accountability, when you can make a decision, then it's on your shoulders. And you have that sin. And unless you come to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart, you can have no hope in this world or the world to come. So Jesus says, as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. So you're a child of God when you receive Jesus. And so right away somebody said, I don't understand this receiving Jesus. He's up in heaven, I'm down here on earth. How in the world do you receive Jesus? Well, let me tell you how you do it. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, God tells us, Jesus tells us, I stand at the door and knock. Now, that's not the door of your house. That's not the door of the church, although he's locked out of a bunch of churches. I can tell you that. Thank God, not all of them. But he's knocking at the heart of your door. I stand at the heart of your door. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in, and I'll dwell with him and he with me. 86 years ago, almost 87 years ago, that's just exactly what I did. And I said, dear Jesus, 10 years old. And Jesus knocked at my heart's door, and there was just something that I didn't hear any voices, and I didn't see any lights, and I didn't get goose pimples or anything else, but I just knew Jesus wanted into my life. And I can tell you that I'm preaching this wonderful gospel right now, all over the world, and the glorious Holy Spirit has taken that message and he's knocking at your heart's door. And you're saying, yes, I have sinned, and I know I'm a sinner, and I do want Jesus. I'm missing something. I just want Jesus, and I want him into my heart. And so this is what you do. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And I will follow you as long as the best I can. Now, you'll never be perfect. You're going to have sins after you have Jesus. And so we confess them. Every day we confess our sins. So we have fellowship with Jesus. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. And I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And I've told it so many times about one man, and he prayed to accept Jesus. He didn't know anything about prayer. He didn't know he was supposed to pray in Jesus' name, anything else. But I explained it to him, and the Holy Spirit applied it to his heart. And he said, yeah, I want to pray. And he prayed that prayer. And in his prayer, he prayed something that I didn't even mention to him. And I ask you to forgive me for the sins of things I should have done and I didn't do. Not just the things that I've done, but the things I didn't do. I didn't do for you or shouldn't help somebody or whatever it is. And when he was done praying, you know what he said? He said, goodbye. He didn't know he was supposed to say amen. Well, who cares? God doesn't care. He just wants you to talk to him. Don't get fancy. You don't have to have thee and thou. You say, I don't know how to say thee and thou. You just talk to him as a friend. He's the best friend in the whole world. And you make that prayer, and you're his child. And if you drifted away, you come back. And if you've done that, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. Wherever you are in the world, we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send us a gift on the internet, it's christianworshiphour.com. And you can send it from any nation in the world, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And if you'd like to have a little Bible study, we send it off free and postpaid. It's called The New Song, The New Song. And this month, it's about how to be a Christian, how to grow in the Lord and be strong in the Lord. And you just write and say, I'd like the new song. As a matter of fact, you send us a gift, we'll send it to you anyway. And if you don't have any money, you just write and we'll send it also. So here it is again, especially for all of you folks that are on shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we're going to be looking for your letter. Now I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Lord, I'm just thanking you for the multitudes of people all over the world that's asking you into their heart right now. And they become a child of God. They're part of the body of Christ. They're being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Thank you for that. And Lord, we want to pray also for the persecuted church today, the persecuted church in Syria. Just help them to know that they are encouragement to us. And give them courage and strength and give us the same thing if we have to stand for you. Pray for the shut-ins. Pray for the lonely. Pray for the hurting. Pray for the young people and the children. And Lord, just help them all to come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I hope you'll write to us. We need to have your help. We need your prayers. Tell other people to listen. And then next week we're going to talk about Jesus on the cross. When he said, Father, forgive them, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And we're going to look at that. And then the next is Palm Sunday, and the next one is Easter. It's a glorious time of the year. And what better time to come to Jesus? So you just trust Jesus, write to us, pray for us, and always remember that God loves you. He loved you so much, he sent his son, and his son loved you so much, he died for you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you too. That's why we go week after week and year after year. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.